across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, May 3rd, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, watching us on social media, or listening on demand by podcast. Nice to have you here. I got a question for you. Can you see anything out your window right now? Because it is pea soup out there here on Lake Wissota, and from what I gather, many places around Wisconsin. It's supposed to be sunny in many parts today, but we're going to start with this fog, so please be careful, especially on those morning drives when kids are at the bus stop. You know, you can slow down and still get there just fine and take advantage of what hopefully is going to be a really nice day, a nice start to the weekend. You'll hear forecasts throughout the commercial breaks here on your favorite Civic Media station. As always, if you'd like to join us during the show, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also do all that through the Civic Media app. And you really should download that because I believe next week we're going to be giving away Brewers tickets again. And I think we're going to use the text messaging part of the app to do that. So get that app downloaded, get familiar with the stations and the shows, and it would be nice to have you be one of the winners when we give away Brewers tickets throughout the course of the season. You know that saying, bucks in six? Yeah, it's bucks in 6 months because the Indiana Pacers put a merciful end to the Bucks' somewhat overly troubled season. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. It's a jam-packed first weekend of May. There's a lot going on this first weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll go through some of the week's top stories, both with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and Stop the Press's newsletter writer Mark Jacob. We'll review some of Trump's legal woes with our weekly visit with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And Dan Schumacher, the resident Cubs fan of the show, will be here as we get started for the Brewers-Cubs first series of the new season, the first series since Craig Counsell turned coat and ran off to Chicago to manage the Cubs. So we'll talk about that, and Dan will give us a report from the situation up in Northland College in Ashland, where hopefully they've had a resolution to some of their current financial woes. 6 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin, 47 here in Chippewa Falls, 39 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 44, Wausau 46, Green Bay 51, La Crosse is at 46. Wisconsin Rapids 49, Oshkosh 51, Madison 49, and it is 54 degrees in beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin, where Greg Bach is standing by getting ready to start his weekend, which means more work because the man is driven.
I work a lot by
a spirit of entrepreneurship. Yeah, the man needs a nap. But you always have something nice to tell us, something that folks in or coming to the Milwaukee area could do for the weekend at a little place called the Laughing Tap. What's going on this weekend down there, sir?
We have TJ coming through. It's his name. It goes by TJ. He's doing a tour across America. It's called Colonizing America, or the Colonizing America Tour. He's very funny. He's a Haitian comic. And fun thing, he does shows in French and English, which is cool. Yeah, he'll be coming through this weekend. 3 shows. Sorry, I'm stretching. I'm a bit tired. It was a bit of a rough morning this morning. Three shows, 7:30 tonight and 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Saturday. And it's going to be a really good time. We're going to have fun.
Good.
Whether they like it or not.
And go learn more at
laughingtap.com.
There we go. All right. I'm going to put in a producer request for you. Yeah. It actually comes online here from our friend Roger, who says that Dwayne Eddy passed away earlier this week, an early rock and roll guitar hero.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just pulled up the New York Times article on him, you know, known for like the Peter Gunn theme and a whole lot, I guess, who described him as the first the first guitar god, basically, is what how one rock icon, John Fogerty, described him. So we'll dig up a little of that to play during our history lesson coming up today. Also on Facebook, Alicia writes in to say Green Bay is cloudy, no fog, but the sun is coming out. So that is a positive development here.
It's getting brighter in Waukesha, too. It was rainy when I left the house, and I feel there's hope in the clouds.
Hope in the clouds. Yeah. Oh, I like that very much. So we've got this very busy weekend, the first weekend of May. It's the fishing opener, traditionally, here in Wisconsin.
Pat, what did you say? It's what? It's what?
It's got to be...
Gonna be May.
That's right.
That's right. See, thanks, Justin.
Third time's the charm, baby. There we go. You got Cinco de Mayo happening over this weekend on Sunday. Let's see. The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. And then, you know, it just being the first weekend of May, you know, I'll be in the garage all weekend again, working and putting all that back together after our project. So let me start with the fishing opener. And I don't even know if I've asked if you like fishing at all. Where's Greg Bach, the angler?
I'm pro fishing and I would like to fish. I just don't have time. I did it a little bit when I was young with my dad, but we weren't like, come on, son, let's go fishing. He's like, I'll take you fishing. And I liked it. I have my own fishing rod. My dad gave me when I was 12. It's probably too small for me, but he gave it to me. So I still have it.
Nice. Does it have like Mickey Mouse on it? Is it one of like a Disney characters one? Or
no,
it's a real one.
It's a real one. My dad's buddy used to make fishing rods for people, like custom made fishing rods. So he got me one and it has my name on it and everything. So I never want to get rid of it because who wants a fishing rod with the name Greg Bach on it?
Well, people might think that's a celebrity or something. Ooh. Like, you know, like Les Paul on a guitar. You never know. Who knows? The story I always tell, and I don't mean to make my dad sound like a bad guy. This is really more about me than it is about him, but there's a reason why he and I didn't do a lot of fishing and didn't do a lot of hunting, because in both cases, there are very specific stories where at some point the story ends with, why don't you go wait in the truck? because you're talking too much. I couldn't stay quiet in the woods while hunting. And, one time in the boat, he just kind of brought the boat back to the dock and said, why don't you go play or whatever it was. And
Patty Kreitlow.
Couldn't shut his face long enough to enjoy some hunting or fishing time with his dad. Had to ask a million questions. So, and again, not a reflection on him, just who I am.
Just a story. Sorry.
Haven't really stopped talking since. So, very much pro hunting and fishing. Just don't bring me. it's not going to be useful to you at all. This weekend when I worked in radio up in Rice Lake right after college, this weekend was always interesting. This the fishing opener weekend, and then again for the holiday weekends like Memorial Day, because the Highway 53 heading up toward Rice Lake would be like this rolling armada of boats, you know. For the fishing opener, of course, they all have Wisconsin license plates. Then Memorial Day weekend, they all have Illinois plates. And you can just feel it almost like a cartoon. You can feel northern Wisconsin just expanding, you know, like a balloon as it fills up with people. And we'll be out, you know, tomorrow. I'll be engaged in some serious recreational activity tomorrow, having my morning coffee by walking out to the hot tub and sitting in there and waving at the fishing people as they go by, you know.
Your life sounds delightful. I mean, it's like we went for a fish fry at the local pub, then I got in the hot tub on Saturday, waved to the fishermen on Rice. It's like, man, that's jealous.
It has that side to it, you know. Not everybody can lead the Mr. Patrick lifestyle, you know. I do what I can for that. All right, that takes us to the Kentucky Derby. I will admit to never being a huge horse racing fan. I get why people are excited about it, and I've never been a gambler either. And frankly, this past year, with as many horse deaths as there's been at Churchill Downs, I can see why the crowds have been, or the ratings have been down a little bit, but Then there's people that use it just as that occasion, like wear big poofy hats and, you know, just kind of have fun with it. Is it something that you watch? Do you pay attention to the Triple Crown at all?
Right now I'm trying to think. I'll put it this way. I'd rather watch Top Chef.
Wow. That's saying something.
And for folks who don't listen to the show regularly, we have Luke Mathers here on the show every Thursday to talk about Top Chef. And I just sort of zone out. Talking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't care about horse racing. I don't care about that stuff. I don't even know if I think it's – I don't even know if I like it.
Horse, the whole concept?
Yeah. It just makes me – it's kind of an ick for me.
Not your jam. All
nope,
right.
And not then, my jam at all.
And Cinco de Mayo, which again is not really a thing in Mexico.
Not at all.
It's something that Americans here did to say, hey, do you mind if we borrow your holiday here and make a big drinking deal out of it?
So we'd like to take your holiday. What would you like to do with it? Would you like to honor the people? The people of Pueblo and their fight and their struggles. No, I just want to wear a sombrero and get wasted. Is that cool?
$3 margaritas, please.
Yes.
That's about all it is. Now, I will say that in this morning's edition of our daily newsletter, which you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, Christina Lurie points out, as we do with a lot of these heritage months and weeks and dates and things, that'd be a good time to go and, take your business to a Hispanic-owned, restaurant or shop or anything like that. So support the businesses, but again, be courteous about, the holiday is not necessarily yours or ours. So at least have a little bit of respect. If you're just really going to mess yourself up, go do it at a Kentucky Derby party instead.
Yeah. Get drunk.
But don't do it in the fishing boat because you will be brought back to shore in a heartbeat, young man.
People, Pat and Greg of the Pat Kreitlow Show are telling you, get drunk at home.
I don't see any lie in there. I'm sorry. I don't. All right. Well, we will take a pause here so that we can get set to say farewell to the Milwaukee Bucks and their 2023-24 season, a season of being snake bit and making some decisions that may or may not have been good for the long run. And we'll ask, is this it for this iteration of the Bucks? Where do they go from here? All of that and much more ahead on this Friday morning, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Save that for maybe next week, but it is Christopher Cross Day.
That voice.
Just so smooth.
I know.
So yacht rocky.
I know. And he doesn't look like that. He does not look like what the voice should be, at least back in the day.
Yeah. Christopher Cross is 63 years old today, and we'll have much more about that coming up in today's history lesson. About 30 minutes from now or so. All right, Milwaukee Bucks fans, our condolences. It's been a year. It's been an interesting year, put it that way. The Indiana Pacers put the Bucks out of their misery with a Game 6 rout, 120-98, eliminating the Bucks in the first round yet again of the playoffs. The Pacers advanced to play the New York Knicks, who eliminated the Philadelphia 76ers last night. It'll be Indiana's first Eastern Conference semifinal in a decade. For the Bucks, as you know, even casual fans like Greg and I know that there was the questionable trade for Dame Lillard. Nothing about him, but given how it exposed the Bucks' defense, there was a questionable midseason coaching change. And the word questionable is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence.
Yeah.
And then the lack of depth to make up for an unfortunate number of injuries. And so the question becomes, will the team build from here to try to make another run next year? Or are too many of these players aging out and it's time to reload with some young talent, which means there'll be a couple of rough seasons before they get this good again? And again, as somebody who, you know, does not go to Bucks games or anything like that, I do feel bad for the fan base. And of all those things, Greg, that a casual observer like me or like you mm-hmm. can look at, I still look at that coaching change and I just don't know what to make of it. And, you know, the upshot being that it was working. And then Doc Rivers came in and clearly was not the magic man some people were expecting.
Yeah, you know, this was the first Bucks season where I actually really paid attention. And I did that because, you know, we having Joe Zepecki talk about it, having, you know, Dan Schaefer and our sports guys on Matt and Air on Air. So, like, I took in all this information. And really the biggest thing that kind of stuck in my head this entire time was the whole Doc Rivers hire. And I thought to myself, you know, and I asked my friends, I'm like, well, why would we make a mid-season change like that? And they said, like, oh, well, he's not jiving with Giannis and some of the players. I'm like, well, maybe Giannis needs to get over that then. Because if they're mm-hmm. winning with Adrian, and now remember, the Bucks are still paying three coaches.
Yeah.
It was not a right move. Doc Rivers and all the interviews that I listened to on this station, he just didn't, it just sort of, yeah, we got outplayed. They did better than us. And there was no passion. There was no anger. There was no happiness. There was nothing. It just seemed like this was a job to him.
Yeah. And you got to wonder is that what maybe the players wanted? Is that they wanted somebody who was just going to leave them alone and they'll take it from here. And if that's the case, it again reminds everybody that, yeah, even at the superstar level, a coach matters.
Yeah. And if you, and this whole thing, like, you know, the superstar doesn't like the coach. Well, the superstar, if they're winning, if they're got a more winning record, then maybe the superstar needs to adjust.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, so, again, you don't do it without like a Phil Jackson, a Steve Kerr, you know, Pat Riley, things like that. That matters. And it just did not feel like Doc Rivers was going to get people there. But we'll see how that turns out over the offseason and pay attention, you know, next fall. Yeah. In the meantime, we got to pay attention to the Brewers, who are going to be playing at Wrigley Field this weekend for the first time since Craig Counsell left to manage the team. So you can be sure he's going to get a rousing welcome from the crowd. I mean, not like the Cubs haven't already played home games, but just because it's the Brewers, they're going to, you know, just really try to kind of twist the knife, you know, when they do it. And their first series at American Family Field, whenever that is, he said, reaching for a schedule. That's going to be a bother as well. Oh, that starts Memorial Day, that Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, the Cubs will be at American Family Field for Craig Counsell. But these three games are day games, all three of them. Joe Ross takes the mound today for the Brewers. You can listen today, tomorrow, and Sunday, starting at 12:45. News from the center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Have you been to a game at Wrigley?
No, I haven't. And it's been on my, it's not my bucket list. It's been on my list to do for like the past two seasons. I have a friend of mine who's a really big Cubs fan. And I said, I'll go to a game with you. I want to go to Wrigley. I just don't want to go to a Brewers Cubs game. I just want to go. I love going to other stadiums just to be able to relax, be like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I wear my Brewers hat. Last year I saw the White Sox and the Tigers just absolutely do terrible, and somehow one team came out the victor. But yeah, it's so. I think I'm going to go this summer.
I've been to one game, and it wasn't exactly the obstructed seat, but I mean, you see where the posts are, and you can see how like this wasn't. Again, this is 1912, you know, architecture here. They weren't really that caring that much about obstructed view seats and things like that. I've been to Wrigley for one game. I've been to Fenway for one game, also 1912.
Fenway.
And it's like, okay, it was nice to see it, but sometimes it's like, yeah, you're in the rusting hulk of something that's, you know, over 100 years old.
When I went to Fenway, I felt the magic. It felt beautiful. I felt like it was at Lambeau. It felt like Lambeau Field. It felt like when you walk onto that the area surrounding Fenway, the culture of the Red Sox just takes over. It's It's just, it was, I really enjoyed it.
I did sense that, although we also spent a lot of that time wondering if our lives were in danger because they put us in extra seating. And by extra seating, I mean, if you look, it's not there anymore because they've done a remodel since. But imagine the press boxes and the boxes all around the front of the stadium there.
Yeah.
And up on the roof of those, they put bleachers.
Okay.
And like a temporary staircase. And those were the tickets that we got, was they take you way up to the top and then up this temporary staircase and you're on bleachers on top of the press box as high up as you can possibly get and thinking, one wrong move and you're splatting on home plate over here. So, the view was amazing. It absolutely was. Yeah. As long as you didn't mind the sense of pending doom. And look, I know there are there's still some cookie cutter ballparks that are out there, but I've also been to some of the really nice American Family Field. Mm-hmm. Love it. Target Field. Love it. Where the Washington Nationals play in DC. They're all kind of cut from the same cloth, and yet they're all unique enough that you can enjoy going to a game there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to whenever I can make that first American Family Field trip. But right now I'm much more interested in booing whenever Craig Counsell comes up because this weekend is about spite. Boys and
yeah,
girls.
I'm not going to lie. I like when he left, I was like angry for about a day and then I read that news and then he just started saying things about mm-hmm. us. I'm like, you don't have to do that. Like, the front office doesn't care. The rich guys don't care that, like, but you're hurting our feelings. We're the fans and we loved you.
Who's signing the checks?
And yep, exactly.
The check big enough exactly. is what matters for some folks. All right. We kind of haven't talked much about what's in the news here. We're saving that for Kia Vakil. He's coming up next. Later, we'll tell you that President Biden has announced that he's coming to Racine next week. It'll be his fourth visit of the year because you, the Wisconsin voter, matter a lot. Live from Lake Wasota, this is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back at 6:34, and that, of course, is Tame Impala there that brings in Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom based in Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I'm all right, Pat. How about yourself?
Well, fine now. And I know this was your requested walk-up music, and yet I have not learned or looked up anything else from the band. Is it a current band? Is it a classic band you liked from the past?
It is okay. A current band. I think it was last year they had a new album. But no, they're current. They're Australian. It's like an alternative kind of band.
Oh, okay. All right. Because this thing has got, you know, good beat and I can dance to it. It's very catchy. So I really should be exploring more there. I'm trying to keep this upbeat because as we talk about the news of the week here, in my mind, looking back, the story of the week is, Donald Trump's interview in Time magazine titled "How Far Trump Would Go." And we've mentioned it a couple of times here, but I don't feel like you can oversell this thing because it is based in two very detailed conversations with the former president by this reporter. And it's not like two or three things. There's a whole check. There's something for everybody on this list to go. Yep. I don't know if that's what I want to see. What were your impressions? What stuck out for you?
Honestly, I mean, there's so much, like you said, it's a very long, they published the full transcript. He's all over the place as he always is. I was actually glad to see a media outlet post the full transcript. And, you know, I think this is where reporters like should talk to him and interview him because just not on camera and not with like an unabashed amount of time to lie. But in print, you can provide context. You can, you can actually report what he said with the appropriate historical framework and references. And so, you know, in this piece, the thing that stood out the most was that he would let red states monitor women's pregnancies, basically, to make sure they don't violate abortion bans, which is as dystopian a policy as I've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah.
He would let them prosecute people who are in violation of them. That means women who are pregnant. That means providers who might, want to help these women. It might mean people who try to drive women to care or secure them abortion pills through the mail. He's essentially saying these people should be punished because Republicans passed bans that intrude on their health and their privacy. And so that's pretty jarring. And this is, you know, he's claiming he wouldn't pass a national abortion ban. But he also, you know, he said he might support, he did not really, you know, he said he has strong views on the Comstock Act, but would not say whether he would support it or reject it. And this is a 150-year-old law that could, that Republicans want to revive to ban the mailing of abortion pills nationwide. And what that means is that even in states, you know, like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, where it's abortion is legal, if Republicans win the White House and, you know, re-implement the Comstock Act, those pills could not be mailed. And so women would lose access to abortion. And so he might not sign a ban, but he can in other ways basically ban abortion.
You know, here's the other thing that just occurred to me. One of the things that President Biden couldn't do, even though we all assume he has a magic wand, but Louis DeJoy is still the Postmaster General. This guy who is trying to dismantle the Postal Service, basically, he's a Trump guy. The board of directors still doesn't have a majority of Biden appointees yet, so he's still there. You marry that with the Comstock Act, and I'm now starting to wonder just how much monkey business could be done with the mail in another Trump term. Kind of the mail equivalent of, you know, papers, please. If we see anything suspicious, you know, we're going to, you know, open it up, or we're not going to forward it, or we're going to pass it on to a U.S. attorney's office or something like that. And again, you can go ahead and say, hey, you're exaggerating. I don't think you can't talk about any given angle that something could go in when Trump leaves things that wide open, when he gives these vague answers. It means he's leaving the door open to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he will have, if he wins, the benefit of not having to run for re-election again. You know, I know there's fears among some people that, you know, he would try to run a third term. And, you know, I think that second term would be bad enough without worrying about that. I don't actually think that would happen. But he's not going to have to run for re-election again. And so he'll do whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't actually care about abortion being legal. He's just saying what he's saying now to try to get elected without alienating the anti-abortion movement. Once he's in there, he'll do whatever they want. So, you know, nothing is off limits. And, you know, we see that in the rest of the interview where he talks about maybe using the military to, you know, help deport people who've been in this country for decades, tearing apart families. You know, we have a very broken immigration system in that it's exceedingly difficult to come here legally. And so, yeah, we do have a lot of people coming illegally. But if you actually reform the system to make it fair and efficient and reasonable, it would address the problem. But we haven't done that in decades. And so we do have a lot of people who've lived here for 20, 30 years undocumented, who have kids here who are legal American citizens, and he wants to take their parents and send them back to a country they haven't lived in for 20 years. And he wants to use the military to do it, which, by the way, is illegal.
But he would look for some reason to try to do it anyway and dare a court or anybody else to stop him. And again, any review of just the Wisconsin visit this week, you would hear so much race baiting in there that there is in their mind no such thing as a good immigrant, you know, unless maybe they're from Norway, Sweden. That sounds about white, right? So it would not solve things like the worker shortage here or anything else. And then there's the part that we're going to talk about in our next hour with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. But that's the whole notion that he says he would be willing to fire a U.S. attorney who doesn't carry out his direct order to prosecute someone. And again, Jim will give us all the X's and O's about that. But from a reactive standpoint, again, you think, where is somebody on the Republican side going to say, this is a bridge too far? And I find it hard to believe that, you know, threatening the independence of the Department of Justice so that a president can prosecute somebody willy-nilly, I can't believe that's the line still isn't there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think the unfortunate reality is the handful of people who would have said that in the Republican Party have been either pushed out, have retired because they see what their party has become and want no part of it, have, or in some cases, have just completely abandoned any sort of principle or belief in what they claim to espouse. And so it is a party full of toadies right now. The handful of people still there who are, you know, maybe willing to break with Trump are retiring. Like, we are seeing so many people leave the House and the Senate this year who in another era would be considered moderate, but are currently considered moderate. And so, you know, what we're going to see if Trump wins, if Republicans win control of the House and the Senate, it's not going to be, and not to say Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell were moderates, but like, it's going to be further right than any government we've had, I don't know, since the 19th century. It's going to be, I don't think people are ready or understand what is coming down the pike.
And what a cleanup we're going to have to do afterwards if we get the chance to do the cleanup. One more, and then we'll turn to some things that are a little less political. But in Florida, an abortion ban took effect, and it has significant it has significance for the entire South, the entire southeastern U.S. That is a big change in Florida for that part of the country.
Yeah, I mean, until now, Florida was the only state in the South, pretty much, where you could have, you know, an abortion up until 15 weeks. Now they've banned it at 6 weeks. If you are pregnant in anywhere in the South after 6 weeks, you have to go to North Carolina. That's the closest place. If you're in Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, if you're, you know, 13, 14 weeks, and you know, something happens, and some of these states have exceptions, but they're difficult to utilize. There's going to be an insane demand. The closest state without real restrictions is Virginia. You know, if you pull up the map there's a good map on several sites out there about states with bans, they're overwhelmingly in the South. And so the loss of abortion rights in Florida doesn't just affect the millions of women in Florida, which it does, but tens of millions of more women across the South. And so this is just, I mean, this is going so far backwards in time that it's unbelievable. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's pretty much all of the former states of the Confederacy, for the most part, that have banned abortion. And so, you know, what we're seeing here is really it's a tyrannical rule of the minority who want to impose restrictions on women, who are imposing restrictions on protesters, on Black people voting. You know, that's the world that's still exists.
It does. And it would only grow if Trump wins and or both houses of Congress go to the Republicans this fall. But let's go to something the Republicans in this Congress have done, and that is help to sink a program that was keeping, you know, internet access affordable for millions of people, including hundreds of thousands in Wisconsin. Tell us about the ending of the Affordable Connectivity Program.
Yeah, so this is basically a program that helps people afford the internet. It takes anywhere between $30 to $75 a month off their bill. For a lot of people, that makes it free. The internet, you know, at this point, I believe is an essential thing in life. We could not do this right now, you and I, if not for the internet. People can't bank. They can't start businesses. They can't do telehealth. It's an essential public need. And so, but it's often expensive. It's often, you know, inaccessible to a lot of people. And so this program, which was funded by, I believe it was the infrastructure law passed a couple of years ago, helped millions of people afford internet. But, you know, the funds have expired, as government program funding often does. And Democrats in the Senate and the House, President Biden, have all pushed for, you know, reauthorizing it, providing more funding. There's been many different proposals, but the Republican-controlled House has not moved on any of them, has not shown any real inclination to act, even though it's Republicans who represent the vast majority of rural districts where people particularly need this help. And so, you know, it's a big deal. I think a lot of us, you know, in more urban environments, or those of us who are maybe more well-off economically, take internet for granted. But there are a lot of people who still don't have it, who can't afford it. And, you know, this program was a huge benefit to them, and they're going to lose it.
420,000 folks in Wisconsin were benefiting from that program. And the interesting thing is it was just looking to be, you know, reauthorized for another couple of years. They couldn't get that done. But what you are hearing from Trump and other Republicans is if they're going to reauthorize something, it's going to be the 2017 tax cuts, you know, for millionaires and billionaires. So it's not like they've got this, you know, hard line in the sand that says, well, we're not doing anything for the long term. Oh, yeah, they are. Just not for affordable, you know, internet access to a lot of families here. And then there's a new group called the American Climate Corps, where there are some positions available. Can you tell us a bit about that? There's a story on our website, upnorthnewswi.com.
Yeah, so the American Climate Corps is this program that was launched by the Biden administration, you know, due in large part to the Inflation Reduction Act, which helped set it up and really is funding clean energy programs. It's a kind of New Deal style jobs program. You know, anyone who's took a history class, read a history book, remembers Tennessee Valley Authority and all these things. The American Climate Corps is climate focused, clean energy focused, environmental focused, really aims to get young people in particular started on a career track in one of those sectors. You could do anything from installing solar panels to, you know, if you're on the coast, restoring coastal wetlands, retrofitting homes to be energy efficient, fighting wildfires if you're out west. So it's creating a pipeline and really trying to create a path for people to get involved in these jobs without needing like a college degree or a ton of prior experience. And so you can go to climatecorps.gov, and that's core with a P, C-O-R-P-S, climatecorps.gov. There's a couple hundred jobs left available still. It started with more than 2,000, but a lot of those jobs have been filled. And so, yeah, that's what the program is. And the first jobs start next month.
All right. Lots of good information from Kiev Akil, and you can get more in his bi-weekly newsletter called From the Front Lines. Go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. Kiev Akil, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, Pat.
We will have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north. Probably will say it more than 10 times that some song is on my top 10 list, but this one really is. Trust me, when I say there's a top 10 list, James Brown is on it here. James Brown was born this day in 1933.
This video is like the pinnacle of 80s.
Oh my gosh, it is. You know, it's from Rocky. Is it Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. So you've got, you know, Apollo Creed in there, and you've got Dolph Lundgren in there, and of course, James Brown being James Brown. But I love this song.
It's funny watching him sing this song with Apollo Creed dancing around and Dolph Lundgren being like, what is happening right now?
Oh, God, so 80s.
Yeah.
All right, another birthday this day, born on this day in 1903, Harry Lillis Crosby. We knew him better as Bing Crosby. Music was a little different in his era.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
And this is where, look, here's the thing about AI. I'm looking at enough TikTok videos where they use AI to create, you know, new singers or singing things that they didn't actually sing in real life.
Yeah.
Let's take these two. Let's get Bing Crosby singing Living in America, and let's get James Brown. James Brown. She's like the swing on a star. It'd be a lot of fun. Just saying.
Oh, man.
Folk legend Pete Seeger was born this day in 1919. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons still with us. He turns 90 years old today.
Wow.
And we mentioned Christopher Cross turns 63. But, I mean, once you're in the Yacht Rock playlist, I mean, does time mean anything?
You're timeless, friends. You're timeless.
Tony Orlando and Dawn had the number one hit this day in 1975.
He don't love you like I love you.
One more birthday to share. That would be country singer Eric Church is 46 years old today. The number one song this day in 1986... was by Robert Palmer.
Oh man, love this song.
Was Shania Twain that did the takeoff of this, where it was the men that were all glammed up in the background playing their instruments.
The women in this video, like, are of course look sexy and they look powerful with their outfits and their guitars. In the Shania Twain version, the men just look dumb. Like guitar strings.
They're just doing it thinking, I hope the check clears.
Right. That's all that exactly. Counts.
On this day in 2005, Fall Out Boy's second album, From Under the Cork Tree, debuted at number 9 on the album chart, becoming their first album to break the top 10 with singles like this. Let's see, on the national calendar today, today is National Paranormal Day.
It's, also, you know what that means.
What does it mean? There it is. It is also Asian American Pacific Islander Women's Equal Pay Day.
Okay.
It's International Wild Koala Day, which kind of makes me chuckle because I know they mean koalas in the wild, but I imagine a koala like acting wild, which would really be a stretch.
Koalas getting wild out here.
Party! Yeah. This is National Justice Day. This is National Garden Meditation Day. Ooh. National Public Radio Day. National Tuba Day. This is World Press Freedom Day. This is School Lunch Hero Day.
I'm a school lunch because hero.
Right. Because you can't call them lunch ladies anymore.
So got chicken and stars in my eyes. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It is also National No Pants Day, and I don't have any background info on that. So just please be careful out there, kids. Don't use it as an excuse. And as we were notified by Roger earlier in the program, Duane Eddy has passed away, who broke new ground in pop music in the 50s with a staccato style of guitar playing that became known as twang. Died in Tennessee this week, according to the New York Times. He was 86, complications of cancer. Rebel Rouser here was one of the songs he was really known for in the 50s and 60s. There's hardly a rock and roll guitarist that doesn't bow to him. Duane Eddy, according to John Fogerty of CCR, said he was the first guitar god. He was self-taught, devised his rhythmic melodicism, says the New York Times, by playing the lead lines on his guitar's bass strings and liberally using the vibrato bar. He never learned to read music, never learned to score music, but he had a strong ear for pop idioms, including country, jazz, rhythm, and blues. He was introduced to a new generation of fans in the 1980s when Art of Noise released an avant-disco reworking of his 1960 hit, his version of Henry Mancini's Peter Gunn. It also won the Grammy Award for Best Rock Instrumental in 1987 with Duane Eddy on lead guitar. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994, the same year that this original hit recording of Rebel Rouser appeared in the movie Forrest Gump. So Duane Eddy, one of the first guitar gods, 86 years old, passing away. So attention must be paid. Also wanted to pass along, we got a note on the text line yesterday, and I didn't have time to share it. And by the way, put your name on there. Put your name and hometown if you send us a text so we can give you proper credit. But I think when we were talking about Top Chef, somebody texted in and said, Pat, I bet you could give a solid recap of TMZ. And I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. He or she, sorry, could give a solid TMZ. Because I've mentioned before that that's like the last thing we watch before we go to bed because it's completely brainless.
Yeah.
I don't have to think. I don't have to be depressed about anything. And so I'm going to tell you my favorite story from TMZ last night was that Nicki Minaj was doing a concert, a homecoming tour in New York, and nobody was expecting her grand reveal, the one and only Cyndi Lauper, whose Girls Just Want to Have Fun is sampled on Pink Friday Girls. And here Cyndi Lauper comes out and shocks the crowd at the Barclay Center, brought the house down. There was lots of hugging afterwards and Nikki bowing graciously to tell the crowd what an inspiration Cyndi Lauper had been to her. Lots of tears. And again, I never thought back in the day we'd be thinking of Cyndi Lauper as like, you know, rock legend.
Yeah.
But she was right up there with Madonna when they both kind of, you know, came on the scene. And she did have a lot more influence than, you know, some of us idiots were thinking back in the 80s.
She has a powerful, powerful voice. She can still sing it to this day.
And it's nice to see the respect being paid. Much more in our second hour here live from Lake Wissota. This